Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
John chapter 5. Woo. John chapter 5. Ah, solid. Come on, I feel this glory. Anybody feel hope in the room? Come on, you should be electrified with the hope right now. Some of you don't understand this. You see, you need to dance with God to have a dream with God. There was a show called Dancing with the Stars. When God gave Abraham a dream, he told him, look up in the sky and look at the stars, because the stars are going to be a representation of your wildest dreams being manifested right before your eyes. Abraham thought he was going to have only one son, but God made him a father of many nations. God did more, gave him more than he expected. That's what happens when you dream with God. God will give you more than you anticipated, more than you can even ask or think. Hey! You start dancing with God because I understand his promises and I understand his ways. I understand his nature. I got joy in the middle of my promise. I got hope in the middle of my storms. Come on. I can sleep in my storms because my eye is set on the one who created the storms, who created the seas. Come on. Hey. And he told me something that he will not ever lie. So in John chapter 5, now watch this. John chapter 5, I'm going to show you this real quick. Are you ready? God wants to upgrade our level. We have to think at the level of God. I feel the atmosphere is saturated enough for me to declare this to you. Because some revelation you can't declare without the right atmosphere. John chapter 5, verse, I'll read 12. Somebody say dream again. Dream again. All right, I'm going to go back a little bit. Verse 8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. What do you do in your bed? What do you do in your bed? And when you sleep, what do you usually do? Dream. Take up your dream and walk. Rise. Take up your dream and walk. Look at somebody next to you and say, stop sleeping on your dreams. This impotent man had a dream to walk, but he didn't know it was possible for him to walk. Until Jesus showed up, it was impossible for him to walk. Then Jesus walks up to him and says, take up your bed. You don't got to dream about this another day. You can pick up your bed and walk right now. You see, we think God gives us these dreams and these hopes so that we can have a belief that one day it'll happen for us. Ha! But when you realize that Jesus walked up to you and gave you something to do, he gave you a hope, he gave you a promise, he gave you a dream, it's no more time for you to sit down and lay down and dream. It's time for you to get up and it's time for you to walk, to pursue that thing that God gave you. That's just one verse. Verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole. and took up his bed and walked. Watch this. Immediately. Somebody say immediately. When you deal with God, you deal with the God who deals with you immediately. The word of God does not return to him void. Once he decrees a thing, it is established immediately. That's why there must be an immediacy in your spirit. There must be an urgency in your spirit. That's why when Shanique said, come, sow a seed, you got to know to respond immediately. Why? Because you start operating on God's time, not yours. The Bible says the man was immediately made whole, and then he took up his bed and he walked. He did something, amen? And on the same day, watch this, was the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath? Day of rest. God took this man who was on his bed, dreaming to get healed one day, told him that today you're going to walk. The man responds in faith, gets up, walks on the Sabbath, the day of rest. The day you begin to walk and live out the dream that God gave you, it will be a day of rest to you. You're going to stop worrying. You're going to stop being frustrated because you're going to find yourself doing what God said you already have the capacity to do. Woo! Now, who was mad because this man got his breakthrough? The Pharisees, the religious, the Jews. Oh, no, all right. Stay right there. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said to him, the man that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Religious people will always tell you it's not the right time for you to follow the dream and pursue the thing that God has called you to do. Religion will always talk you back into a state of slumber, of boredom, of passivity, of complacency. It don't take all that. It don't take all that. Why are you dreaming about healing? You should accept your healing. Everybody's gonna die, right? So you should just accept this healing and one day you're gonna die. No, the devil is a liar. God gave me a promise that by his stripes I am healed. So I'm not gonna accept sickness as my diagnosis. When the Lord declared that I'm healed, I'm healed. Religion will always talk you out of faith. Because when you start following Jesus, you turn your back on man. You turn your back on the people who are not at God's level. Do you know that you don't have your own faith? Do you know that God gives you his faith? When you do things in your own strength, you're trying to conjure up your own faith. And when you're trying to do stuff in your own strength, it's a struggle. It's a strain. But when God gives you faith to believe for something, it's not hard, is it? You can rest. Jesus was the most restful man on the planet. Why he was in hell, the most hated man on the planet. All hell wanted to break out on Jesus, but all of heaven just kept breaking out of him. Why? Because he was more aware of the realm of heaven than he was the realm of earth. So when Jesus told us pray for things to be in earth as it is in heaven, when he told us to pray not our will but his will to be done, that we need to seek first his kingdom
And then everything else would be added to us. It was because Jesus was trying to give us a secret. Watch this. He tells this man to get healed. He gets healed. Verse 11. He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up my bed and walk." The man who saved me, the God who saved me, is the same person who told me to take up my bed. Come on, Adrian. Told me to take up my bed and walk. You don't got to answer to anyone. When God has given you a dream, you don't have to answer to anyone. That's the problem. You're still waiting on approval. You're still waiting for your friends to approve of what God called you to do. It doesn't work that way. Keep going. Verse 13. No, they asked him, "What man is that which said you should take up your bed and walk?" He that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So Jesus got out the way. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you." Do you realize that one of the ways that you keep your wholeness is by walking and pursuing what God called you to do? Do you realize that there is protection, there is preservation, and there is safety in the will of God for your life? And if you try to do anything outside of the will of God, you're not protected. You're not insured. So look at somebody else and say, the safest place to be is in the will of God. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore the Jews desired to persecute Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. Now, this is where I wanted to show you, verse 17. But Jesus answered them and said, "What? My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father has been working until now, and I also have been working." One of the things that Jesus said about himself when he was at the tender age of 12 was that I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. He said, "My Father has been working until now, and I have also been working, doing my Father's business." Verse 18, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Are you ready for this? When Jesus taught us to pray, what was the first thing we were supposed to say? Say it together. Our Father. That's our cultural identity in heaven. Sons of God, you and I, daughters of God, sons of God. Jews know God as Father, correct? So here it is. The Jews sought to kill Jesus because he called God his Father. When you call God your Father, look what the accusation was. Because he is making himself equal with God. So when Jesus taught us to approach God from the perspective of Father, it was because he was upgrading our level. He was upgrading our identity in ways that religion will never understand. Religion will continue to tell you, you are a worm. You're a sinner saved by grace. Religion will keep putting you down. Society will keep putting you down. But Jesus comes along the scene and says, no, you are on the level of God. Why? Because that is your Father. When you understand that God is your Father, you can bring heaven to earth. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Only sons can pray that prayer. Only sons and daughters of God, you, if that's your identity, only you can pray that prayer. And not just pray it, but see the materialization of it. You can see the kingdom come. You can see heaven come. You can see the miraculous. You can see the supernatural. You can see heaven on earth because you are a son. Now, if you don't believe this, your prayers are worthless. Because you start praying like an orphan. And you start praying like you don't got a father. And you start begging. And you start striving. And you get out of rest. Pay attention. Jesus said, next verse. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing. Notice Jesus didn't just say, I can do nothing. He said, the Son. Because he was speaking not only on his behalf, but on the behalf of all the sons and daughters of God. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, so can do in like manner. Woo! Hallelujah. What was the Son able to do? Raise the dead. What else? Heal the sick. What else? Open the blind eyes. Pull money out of the fish's mouth. Walk on water. What else could the Son do? Cast out devils. Part the sea. That was God. Multiply food. Multiply bread. All right. The Bible says sons can't do anything of themselves, but only what they see the Father do. For whatever he does, the sons of God can also do in like manner. So here it is. The importance of dreaming with God. Because what Jesus was able to do was entering into this realm in which he can see what the Father was up to and was able to produce what the Father was doing in the earth. Hold on. Are they looking at me with this tone of voice of unbelief? I want you to see this. God sees you as sons. And if you're a son, that means you're equal with him. That means you're on his level. That's why you can also do what he does. Now, the first thing, the way I like to look at that is this. When I see God, I'm supposed to see myself. Because I was made in his image and in his likeness. Right? Genesis 1. Say, I was made in the image and likeness of God. That means I was created to look like God, and I was created to function like God. Sin robbed us of our identity, and because of that, we don't believe at first that we are who God says we are. Now, isn't it amazing that Jesus connected identity with ability? That once you feel like a son right now with the identity of who you are, in God's sight. You don't got to feel like a son right now, but that's who God sees you as. Once you align your identity to who God says you are, then all of a sudden, grace is released so that you can actually operate with the ability that God says you can operate in. So that's why sons, when they pray from that revelation, they have the ability to release heaven, just like Jesus did. Was it Jesus' intention to be the only person that can work miracles, to heal the sick, to raise the dead? No, because in Matthew 10, verse 8, he gave his disciples a commission. He said, you go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And then in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He told his disciples this, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you to do. So Jesus told his first followers, do what I do. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. What else? Speak in new tongues, whatever. Perform miracles. Walk in purity. Walk sinless before your God. But none of that becomes a reality to you, church, until you change your identity. That's the first gift God has given you. I am not who they say I am. I'm not what people have diagnosed me. I am a son of God. If it's not in God, it's not in me. I don't see God having bad days. I don't see the Father having depressed days. I don't see the Father ever getting hopeless. I don't see the Father ever looking down at planet Earth and say, man, I don't got any hope in these kids. This world isn't going to get any better. The reason why I shared this verse today as we close, because we're talking about dreaming again. And I want you to pay attention to this. Your dreams must be aligned with God's dream. Some of you dream. You have these dreams in your heart. And for some of you, you've seen the disappointment of that dream not coming to pass. But I really believe God released this injection of hope and praise today, because all he wants to do is just recalibrate your heart and just get you ready to go back to the drawing board. I have this picture in my head of a blank canvas. You know, an artist, they need a blank canvas first before they start painting anything. And for some of you, God looks at your heart as that canvas. And he needs your heart to just come back to this place where it's just refreshed, reset. No agenda, just a blank canvas. Say, God, I just want your dreams for my life. I can only do what I see you doing. If I'm going to see the fullness of my identity as a son or a daughter of God, I must take this commission seriously. The world, they go out and they try to pursue and chase every dream that comes to their minds. But we're not of the world. We're of the kingdom. And as kingdom sons and daughters, we can only do what we first see our Father doing. In Matthew 6, verse 9, when Jesus taught us to pray, I'm asking this question. What is God's dream? Do you know that God has a dream? What is God's dream? I'm not talking about just his dream for your life. I'm talking about what's his dream for humanity. What was that? That he'll prosper and be in good health? That's part of it. I'm going to show you what God's dream is. Matthew 6, verse 9. Matthew 6, verse 9. You ready? Now, I need you to get this. Because church is just a part of God's dream. God prospering you, God healing you, God saving you, that's still all just a portion of the dream of God. How can two walk together unless they agree? You can't have one dream in your heart and God has another dream in his heart. How can we walk together unless we agree? You can't walk with God if you don't know what's in God's heart. What is God concerned about right now? What is his business? What is he up to? In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Read it with me, verse 10. What? Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't even go any farther. We just read God's dream. God's dream was that things will be in earth as it is in heaven. God's dream is that his sons and daughters, first of all, that we will realize who we are. And as we realize that we are the family of God, sons and daughters of God, we will begin to pray the way he wants us to pray. And this prayer is not supposed to be, you know, just a bedtime prayer. This is the process through which the dream is going to manifest. That we are giving our hearts over to the prayer that things should be in earth as it is in heaven. Until this dream convicts you, grabs your heart, stirs you up, leaves you up at night pondering, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? What would that be like if things were in my life as it is in heaven? And what would that look like for me to partner with God to bring heaven to earth? See, this is the meditations that you need to have an awakening towards. God doesn't just have you on your job to get a paycheck. You must be up there because he wants you to bring heaven there. You must be about your Father's business, not anybody else's business. God don't even care about your business. Your business must be his business. God wants you to start a business so that through your business, you can bring heaven in whatever industry you're impacting. You're simply a conduit, a vessel through which God can allow his will to be done through you. God wants you to be rich so that you can be rich enough to create heavenly norms and cultures and customs where you go. Money will be involved in that. But he even teaches us, don't worry about the money. Worry about my will first. Right? Get occupied with what I called you to do. If you seek my kingdom first, you seek my agenda first. You seek my dream first. Everything else will be added to you. Hallelujah. So what's God's dream? on earth as it is in heaven. Say that with me. On earth as it is in heaven. What's God's design? I want you to write this down. I'm going to give you these points. God's dream is on earth as it is in heaven. God's design, or the way God is going to do this, is that he's not going to do it without you. So what's God's dream? His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. As it already is in heaven. God's design is that he's not going to happen without us. God is not going to make things on earth as in heaven by himself. So imagine this. God, our Father, before time began, had this dream. I'm going to create a planet. I'm going to create an entire solar system. And I'm going to create one special planet where I'm going to create humanity. These people are going to be my image bearers. They're not like angels, because they're not, angels are not sons. But I'm going to create people in my image and in my likeness. They're going to look like me. They're going to walk like me. They're going to talk like me. I'm going to put in them my spirit. I'm going to breathe my life into them. And I'm going to, through them, I'm going to create a replica of the unseen realm of heaven in the earth realm through humanity. Can you imagine that? So he created Adam and Eve and gave them a commission. He said to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue the earth. That was the original mandate about seeing things in earth as it is in heaven. And then their job to be fruitful was to not be seedful, but fruitful. They were supposed to be productive. And in the work, in the dreams that he puts in their heart to accomplish things, God says they were going to create a society that was going to reproduce heaven on earth. And then from there, he said to multiply, have children. That have children, that also understand this is the mandate. Our job, our Father's business is to replicate heaven on earth. See, and I can't do that if I don't know the Father. And I can't do that if I don't know what heaven is like. So that's why Jesus was sent to show us what it would look like to have heaven on earth. Come on. Healing, salvation, deliverance. Come on. Miracles. Come on. Happy homes, divine happenings, come on. Say, God is not going to do it without me. God needs me to bring heaven to earth. What's God's process? God's process is prayer followed by risk. But when you stop... God's process is prayer followed by risk. So when you stop praying for things to be in earth as it is in heaven, you are now supposed to pray for what you desire, what you see God doing. And then as you pray into it, you now take the risk to do what it is that you believe God has showed you to do. Until you become bold enough to take some risks, you won't break into the realm of heaven. It's called faith. We don't just pray, but we take the leap. Come on, we take some risks. You see some sick people and you lay your hands on them and you're believing that according to his word, he commissioned us to heal the sick. So I'm going to do it because the Son showed us what the Father is like and the Father wants us to lay hands on the sick so they can recover. So I'm going to do it to as many sick people as I know, as many sick people as I can find. I'm going to break into that realm because it is God's dream that we will see heaven on earth. Say, I'm going to take some risks. If you want to see food multiplied, you got to take some risks. Try to feed some people to the point where you don't got enough. And then see if God multiplies it. See, one thing I learned is that you have to put yourself in a position where miracles are required. If you want to see the supernatural, you need to put yourself in places where you need miracles. Most of our lives are too safe and cushy. So God doesn't, we don't need to see anything supernatural. See, but listen, I believe God is going to stir up a hunger in us in this year where we're going to look at the impossibilities of life. The things we thought were impossible. And then as we're praying the kingdom to come, we're praying God's sovereign, God's supreme, God's majestic, God's awesome, God's all-conquering kingdom to invade this circumstance. Is there anything too hard for our God? So when I pray, I'm believing that God is able to do exceeding and abundant, far beyond all that I can ask or think, according to the power that's working where? In us. So we pray and we take risks. And our preacher last week said, don't worry about if you fail or not. God can take care of his own reputation. You might pray and say, man, I messed up or nothing happened. What I love is that God is more concerned about your faith than he is about you getting it right. It's like a child learning how to walk again, for the first time. You're more excited that they tried to walk before they actually walk. You're excited that they're trying to do something they've never done before. That's the Father's heart. He wants to see you doing what you've never done before in this season. God wants to see you doing what you've never done. You know what's easy to you. You know what you can do in your sleep. But now God says, I want you to pick up your bed and walk. I want you to try what you couldn't try before, what you didn't have the faith to believe God for. Come on, do what you haven't done. Hallelujah. Do I have any faith walkers in the room? Come on. Do I have any faith walkers in the room? Do I have any kingdom kids? Give me kingdom kids. Come on. Children of the Most High God. Hey. Hallelujah. I'm expecting more. Woo. And then when we obey God and follow the process of praying and taking risks, we pray until God puts something in our hearts to follow, to do. And when we do this, God's promise to us is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. You are going into this new year with hope, with faith, with boldness, with courage, with love in your heart. And then God is placing in you new dreams, new revelation. Come on, new perspectives. And these dreams are bigger than you. Tabitha said this on Tuesday. She said, when God gives you a dream, this dream may start with you, but it may not end with you. Walt Disney had a dream to create a world in which all his characters were going to come alive. 5 years before Walt Disney World actually opened, he died. He never got to see his dream in real life. But he saw his dream before it even opened because it was in his heart. He died in faith, believing. He died in faith, believing that what he saw in his heart was going to come to pass. And you know who took up the mantle? His children. That's why Jesus was able to say, I'm going. I'm leaving. But now that my sons and daughters know who they are, they're going to pick up the dream. They're going to pick up the Father's business. And they are going to bring heaven to earth. They are going to release the kingdom of God on the earth. Come on, you are the sons of God. You are the daughters of God. I want you to lift up your hands. Come on. God is enabling you. He's empowering you to pick up the dream of God, to bring the kingdom. Bring the kingdom from heaven to earth. Hallelujah. He's giving you the Holy Ghost. He's giving you the anointing. He's giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, he's ensuring that your daily bread will be provided. Woo! Hey! So that's why after he said you pray that, he said, now he said, give us this day our daily bread. Say, give me this day my daily bread. I love that. Daily bread. God daily loads us with benefits. That bread is more than just food. You got to understand this. It's more than just food. That's for all of the necessities of life. God will provide for you. He said, seek the kingdom first, and then these things will be added to you. He also said, deliverance is the children's bread. His bread. Healing is the children's bread. If you're sick, God, thank you for my daily bread of healing, of good health, come on, of a sound mind. Thank you for endurance, for stamina, all that I need you are giving me. Woo! And you got to pray this in the now. Say immediately. Come on, just see a table spread before you. And just see your daily bread on the table. See it with your eyes. And I want you to eat. And I want you to receive. Ah! God's provision, his daily bread. God will take care of you. He's a good father. Huh. The last thing I want to say to this. Last thing I want to say about this. The Bible says in Revelation 5, I think it was 5 or 4, he says, for his pleasure we were created. For his pleasure, we were created. Nothing brings more pleasure to God than to see us embracing the identity of sons and daughters and living our lives from this revelation. Nothing brings pleasure to God more than that. He takes pleasure in hearing us pray his will being done. The Bible said in Revelation is like our prayers are like a aroma, like a sweet-smelling savor. Can I turn to that real quick and then we're done? Revelation 8. I preached the whole sermon. God is good. Revelation 8. Wow. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. This is going on in heaven. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The Bible says that our prayers go up to God like incense, a sweet-smelling aroma. Can you imagine pleasuring God with your life and your prayers? I want you to think about that. When you pray, Father, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. When you pray like this, the Bible says your prayers go up. And it's like an incense that God gets to enjoy. It's like you love to smell that steak on the grill. Whatever it is that you enjoy. I got some vegans in here, so maybe that Brussels sprouts in the oven. Whatever it is that you enjoy. Whatever it is that you enjoy. You ever realize that when something smells good, you're drawn to it? You're driving in your car, and you smell that coffee or something. You're like, where is that coming from? I want some. I want some. That's what happens when you release your prayers to God in faith. It's like you release this incense that angels begin to take up and put it in a censer, and they present it to God, and God inhales it, and God gets to enjoy. You give him pleasure. That's his favorite smell. And then you become attractive to God. God is drawn to you. God is drawn to the places where you have allowed your prayers to go up in faith. Anybody want to bring pleasure to God? Or are you more concerned about God bringing pleasure to you? When you bring pleasure to God, God takes pleasure in being with you. It is God's pleasure to bring heaven to earth. Matthew 12, Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is exciting me. It is the Father's pleasure to give me the kingdom. You're still praying for a house and car. Pray for the kingdom. When you got the kingdom, you got peace. You got righteousness. You got joy. Come on, everything be added to you. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow. Come on. So don't just pray for things. Pray for the kingdom. And when the kingdom adds it to you, it will have no sorrow attached to it. Come on, stress free. That's what Jesus, how Jesus wants you to live. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you your daily bread. Every real man in this room understands that. It is our pleasure to be able to come home and bring the bacon. It's our pleasure to be able to take a wad full of money out and just give it to our kids, to our wife, to our family, to our mothers. Every man loves that. Some men run away from their responsibilities if they feel like they can't do it. Because they want to be able to say, I did this for my kids. I did this for my wife. I did this for my mother. I did this with my parents. It is the Father's pleasure to provide for his children. Can you see God smiling as he's blessing you? See, I don't cry or whine to God. I know God's pleasure, God's heart is in providing. God loves to give. He's a giver. Come on, he's a giver. If he gave us his son freely, what more will he not give? What will he withhold from us? Forgive us our debts. Forgive those who have trespassed against us. It is the Father's pleasure to forgive. He loves forgiving us. He knows we're not going to get it right. He knows we're going to mess up and trip up along the pursuit of seeing the kingdom come, but it's the Father's pleasure to forgive us. Can somebody just say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me freely. Y'all not getting this, man. Do you realize provision came before forgiveness in the prayer? Which means that you don't even have to be perfect or right enough before provision can come. A good father doesn't need you to live right before they provide for you. They'll provide for you because it's a necessity. And it's his pleasure to do it. Stop counting yourself out of some blessings. Stop disqualifying yourself from some promises. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. But you got to pray it because the aroma is going up. God says, oh, who wants this? Who wants me? Who wants my presence to show up? Who wants miracles? Anybody want miracles in their lives? Start praying and start taking some risks. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I just walked you through God's dream, God's design. You're going to be the one to help bring heaven to earth. And for the next several weeks, we're going to unpack what that's going to look like in every sphere of our lives. Come on, we're going to pursue a culture of heaven in our lives. The values of heaven. We're going to pursue it. We're going to understand what it looks like, and then we're going to work together to bring it. Tuesdays too, so you got to be on Tuesdays. But we're going to press into this thing together. Amen? God's dream over my dream. Say that. God's dream over my dream. God's dream over our dream. Hashtag that. Do something like that, right? God's dream over our dream. That's our confession. That's going to be our statement. Amen? All righty. So let's pray that together. Let's stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.